why don't kick back and get raw with us.
From the latest hip-hop beefs,
spazzles,
to social issues that cripple the black community, all from the perspective of a young, strong black woman.
A strong black woman.
And now your host, Rita.
Welcome back, everyone, to another episode of According to RP on WJMS Radio. It's your girl, Rita Pierre, your host. And as always, I hope you guys are having a wonderful, wonderful week so far. I mean, I really cannot believe that we are in the second week of January. We are in the second week of 2019. And for those of you out there who have made your New Year's resolutions and your New Year's goals, I urge you guys to keep moving forward with these goals. Now, you know, I've been watching Instagram, and unfortunately, some of you guys have already been slipping and backtracking on your promises to yourself this year. But I'm here to let you know that we're just in the second year. The second week. If you've slipped up a little bit, it's okay. I'm here to let you know that I'm watching you, and I'm here to hold you accountable for the goals that you've set. I mean, it's not easy, it's difficult, but that is why it's important to have a community around you and to have a tribe of people who are going to hold you accountable. So for those of you who said you were going to eat healthy, but I saw cakes being posted on your Instagram, I'm here to let you know that I'm watching you. Let's get back to the healthy eating. Now, for me personally, I am trying to give up the cookies and cakes, and I am here to report that I have not eaten a cookie, nor have I eaten a cake since I've made that promise. And there are other things that I've said I wasn't going to do, and I have not been doing them. And I've said that I was going to go to the gym, and I am happy to report that I have been going to the gym. I've already seen some inches melting off of my body as we speak. So, you know, it's a journey, but let's not make this, you know, like 2018, 2017, 2016, where every year we're like, oh, we're going to do this. And then we're like, okay, well, there's always next year. Let's really set out to do what we said we're going to do for ourselves in the year of 2019. Now, today's show is going to be very, very interesting. I have a very special guest coming on later on this show, Rashad McCrory, who is the owner at Ghana Cross Culture. He is going to talk about traveling to Africa and how his company assists people like you and me to sojourn to the motherland and to experience Africa the way that it needs to be experienced. I will say this many times on this show. As a black person, as a person of color, it is important for you to make that trip to the motherland. It will change your life. I went to Africa for the first time in 2013, and it was a 2013, no, 2016, sorry. It was a wonderful, wonderful experience, and I am looking forward to my trip back. So definitely, you do not want to miss this segment. So before we get into the meat of the show, you guys know we have several preliminaries. I can't speak today, guys. I'm like so tired, but there are several preliminaries that we have to get through, and the first of that being our Urban Dictionary word or phrase of the week.
Do you understand?
The definition.
What does skeet mean?
What's on fleek?
Can you use it in a sentence?
Hopping on fleek, you lit.
And it's gonna be lit.
Major key.
It's time for the Urban Dictionary word or phrase of the week.
So this week's Urban Dictionary word or phrase of the week is millennial promotion. Millennial promotion is when you get more responsibility at work, but no raise. So an example goes, person one, oh wow, Dave's the supervisor now. Person two, yeah, but he still makes the same as us. Person one again states, ha, looks like he got a millennial promotion. Now, the reason that I felt that this term was important to share with you guys today is because many of us are getting millennial promotions. We are getting titles, we are getting workloads, but none of that is commensurate with money. There is no money. There is no dollar bills. There is no cash money being given for this extra work. And in some industries, I understand that sometimes that's kind of how it goes. You do the extra work, you get a title in hopes that when you leave the company, this title and these extra responsibilities will land you a job that will, you know, give you the money that you deserve. But some of us are not looking to leave our jobs. Some of us are really looking to make this house a home. But we are not going to make this house a home and be disrespected at the same damn time. So this whole thing with millennial promotion, you giving me more work and you're going to, you know, appease me by giving me a little title, that's not going to cut it for 2019. You're not going to give me a supervisor title. Meanwhile, the people that I'm supervising are making the same damn money as me. It doesn't make sense. The cost of living is increasing each and every day. You want me to sacrifice time from my family, from my friends, from my passion projects to do the man's work, to elevate the man's business, and you're not going to give me a piece of the pie? It makes no sense. And the reason I'm saying that we need to do better is because, and we, I'm talking about Black people. Black people do not advocate for themselves on the job, especially when it comes to this particular scenario, right? We'll take the titles and we'll let the man gas us up a little bit because now we're called supervisor and whatnot. But we don't advocate for the salaries that we deserve. White people, on the other hand, will, you know, the supervisor or the boss or whatever will say, hey, I'm going to give you some more work. I'm going to give you a title. Just to make it sweet. They're going to be like, that's cute. However, I'm going to explain to you why you need to pay me more money. I'm going to explain to you why this is called slave labor. I'm going to explain to you my worth and how if I were to leave here, you would be lost without me. That's what white people do. Black people, on the other hand, we have this thing going on where we're like, oh, you know, at least I have a job. I'm lucky to pay my bills. I need this job. I don't want to disrupt nothing up in here. We need to cut that shit out in 2019. This millennial promotion thing sounds cute. It really does. But really what it is the employers are like, how can we save money? There's so much work to be done. We're not going to hire extra people to do this work. We know that we need to hire extra people, but we will not because Sally or Shaniqua is capable of doing this work. She hasn't messed up yet. We're not going to get interns to lighten the load. We're going to reward Shaniqua. We're going to reward Sally. We're going to reward Elizabeth and John, because, you know, we're equal opportunity here. We're going to reward these individuals with more work. And we're going to make them think that we actually value them because we're going to give them a cute little title. That really is not going to mean anything, especially if you're trying to stay in-house. I have seen so many people get millennial promotions and after years of this title are still not making the money they need to make or are still making the same thing as me. We're not doing that in 2019. We're not stupid. As the Haitians like to say, nous pas égaré. We're not with it. So that is your Urban Dictionary word or phrase of the week, sprinkled with a little of opinion from According to RP. So now we are up to my most favorite part of this show, my favorite segment, which is the big up of the week. Watch it. And you feel big up, big up. All of the woman them big up, big up. All of the girl them big up, big up. All of the woman them big up. So this week's big up of the week goes to Governor Bill Haslam of Tennessee. Hopefully I pronounced your last name properly. And the reason that he's getting the big up of the week is because, guys, there is a great win for the community. Cyntoia Brown is going to be released from prison as of August 7th, 2019. Now, for those of you who are not familiar with the Cyntoia Brown story, Cyntoia Brown is the young woman who at the age of 16, I think actually 14 is when she was brought into the sex trafficking world. But either way, at the age of 16, Cyntoia Brown had killed her abuser. She shot and killed her abuser, shot him in the head while they were laying in bed. She claimed that she was in fear of her life, which is why she did it, because she couldn't escape. And so because of her actions, she was convicted and sentenced to life in prison in Tennessee. Now, Cyntoia has since served 15 years of this sentence, but because of the likes of the Rihannas, the Kim K's, and I dare say us, because we were all part of this miracle that took place, Cyntoia is now going to be set free as of August 7th, 2019. The governor of Tennessee granted clemency, in which a commutation was awarded to Cyntoia, and a commutation is basically when the governor permanently reduces your sentence. So governors are given several leniencies that fall under this umbrella called clemency. So there are pardons, which absolve people completely. There's commutations, which basically permanently reduces a sentence. And then there are reprieves. So there are different leniencies governors are you know, have the power to grant. And so the governor, after hearing the story of Santoya Brown and following the case and, you know, with all the lobbying that was done from the community and celebrities as a whole, the governor granted Santoya Brown this commutation. And so now she's going to be released from prison. And I am very, very excited for her. Now she is going to be on probation for, I think, another 10 years, but I mean, who wouldn't want to be on probation for 10 years when they were, you know, serving a life sentence? She would have been up for parole for the first time at the age of 67. Now she's going to be 31 years old when she is released from prison, which means she has her whole life ahead of her. She can be a mother, she can be a wife, she can be a teacher, she can be whatever she wants. And so I am so happy that she has been given the second chance. And so I am very, very, you know, I'm grateful for Governor Haslam for doing that, because you don't hear about these things happening all the time, especially for us in the community. So definitely big up to him. And everyone who was involved in writing letters, calling the governor, sharing the post even on social media, just to make put the awareness out there. We all have a part to play in this. And so everybody should be patting themselves on the back. Now, the womp womp of the week. So you guys know with every high, there's a low. And this week's low, everybody's talking about it. You guys probably already know what I'm going to be talking about. It's R. Kelly. R. Kelly's the Pied Piper himself. And the reason that I chose to even go there and name him the womp womp of the week is because his story is so concerning on so many different levels, right? So we all know, we being the people on the outside, the lay individuals, as I'd like to call us, because we are not in the music industry, we always knew that R. Kelly was dirty, that he was sick, that he was kinky, that he was nasty, that he was all sorts of things, right? We all knew that. But we didn't really know the depth. We all knew that he liked younger women, but I don't know. Maybe it's the ignorance, the naivete. I don't know. We really just didn't put two and two together. He lured us with his music. You know, his music is amazing. I'm not going to sit here and lie about it, but we weren't thinking. My issue with R. Kelly is this. Sir, you're dirty, you're nasty, you're despicable, right? You know this. You've even tried to tell us through your music. You've tried to tell us who you were, but we were not listening. In fact, the name the Pied Piper in and of itself was a clue. If we were really dissecting R. Kelly like this, we would know that there were issues, right? So for those of you who actually don't know, the story of the Pied Piper is the Pied Piper of Hamelin. It's like a German legend, was a piper who rid the town of Hamelin of rats by luring them away with his music. And then when he was not paid for his services, lured away its children, right? So R. Kelly has called himself the Pied Piper. And the Pied Piper is known for being this individual in history who would lure children away with his pipe, with music. It's like, ooh, now we're putting two and two together. So it's like he's tried to tell us who he was. We just refused to listen. We refused to listen. And now here we are. But the reason that I feel like I'm like so over R. Kelly himself is that my dude, you've been exposed. You've been exposed. And now instead of just, you know, accepting what's going on, you want to like lash out at the abusers by creating a website talking about exposing lies. You want to sue Lifetime for putting the truth out. You want to call out other celebrities. Like the other day, he tried to call out Usher, talking about Usher needs to go down too because he was talking to the same girl I was talking to. Like, own up to your mistakes. Own up to what you've done. You're disgusting. You're nasty. Your own wife is out here telling people what you've done to her. You are not a good man, sir. And so instead of accepting responsibility for what you've done, you're out here trying to disgrace other people. Now, a lot of you guys are saying that he's sick. I am not here to argue with you. Yes, R. Kelly is definitely sick. He definitely suffers from several forms of mental illness. However, he knows that about himself. And instead, he is not getting help. He is not getting any type of assistance. I mean, homeboy has money. He can get help in the privacy of his own home, but he refuses to. Instead, he wants to be out here rolling the streets with children. Now, many of you guys are saying, well, what about the parents and guardians of these young girls? They are responsible. Who was letting these girls hang out in the studio? Yes. I understand what you're saying. There is blame to go all over this table. However, we are focused on R. Kelly and his nastiness, and he needs to go down for it. The other thing that's causing great concern for me is the fact that there's these celebrities out here trying to act like, ooh, I didn't know what was going on. Let me make myself relevant by jumping on the mute R. Kelly bandwagon. And this is really inspired by Tank. Tank posted this thing the other day on social media talking about how, basically calling out R. Kelly for who he is and talking about how, you know, he wasn't aware, he didn't know that it was to this extent and that, you know, he's pulling all his whatever at R. Kelly collabs. I don't know if he had done any, but he's really going in on this R. Kelly thing, making himself like, you know, I don't want to say a victim, but saying that I can't believe that I was so deceived, that this is disgusting. I'm going to say I have two words for you. Bullshit. Bullshit, Tank. You are in the industry. You are not a layperson like myself and some of these listeners. You are in the industry. You were probably in the studio with R. Kelly laying down tracks, and you were looking at these young girls who were waiting for R. Kelly after he was done laying tracks with you. You were at the same concerts performing with R. Kelly when these little girls were creeping up in the backstage, or dare I say, in the actual dressing room. Don't come out here and talk about, oh, you weren't aware, you didn't know it was like that, you can't believe it, you're disgusted, you're muting R. Kelly and all this extra stuff. What happened was this, and I would have appreciated more honesty, I think, on the part of these celebrities, because it's not just him who's doing this BS. I would have appreciated you saying, you know what? Everybody knows that in order to make it in this industry, sometimes you got to do things that you don't want to do. Sometimes you see things that you just can't call out. And at the time when I was coming up in the game, R. Kelly was a legend. He was this, he was that. And I needed to put my foot, you know, in the door. And I did see these things. I did know what was going on, but, you know, I wasn't thinking about that. I was thinking about my career and I was thinking about me. Now that I have seen this docuseries and I'm like, wow, I'm now being confronted with some of the things that I already knew, I can no longer go forward and support R. Kelly. I would have appreciated that. This little like thing that you're doing now, trying to like, you know, act like you're now, your eyes have now been open. I'm not buying it. I'm not buying it at all. And you guys who are listening should not buy it either. Now, I know that. So the other day too, Jada Pinkett Smith had come on Instagram or Facebook Live or whatever, but I saw it on Instagram talking about how, just basically talking about how, you know, she's confused as to why R. Kelly is getting all these streams, getting all these follows, all these likes. Now, I'm not here to talk bad about Jada. So those of you who have rocks ready to throw at me, put them away. I just wanted to add on to or answer her question. The reason that people are downloading R. Kelly songs and are streaming R. Kelly music at such an alarming rate right now, I don't think it's because they're in support and they're like, ooh, I really want to support R. Kelly. That's not what it is. People are now trying to be Inspector Gadgets. They're trying to be Matlock. They're trying to be SVU CSI detectives and piece together lyrics to try to figure out how they could have missed this shit. That's what they're trying to do. Just like how most of y'all didn't even understand the Pied Piper concept, some of you guys are really downloading and trying to see when he was talking about the world's greatest, what was he talking about? When he was talking about X, Y, and Z, is this what he was talking about? People are now intrigued and are so wanting to really you know, figure all of this out, that they're downloading music to basically be Inspector Gadget. They're trying to be detectives. They're trying to find the aha moment where it's like, crap, this is what he was saying when he meant when he said this. That's what people are doing. That's why they're streaming it. It's not because now everybody wants to play Step in the Name of Love and blast his music at the next party. People are starting to be over R. Kelly. Like, they're not, the downloads are not in support, like, oh, let me get his whole music now, his whole album now. People are really trying to figure out what exactly is going on with this sick ass man. Now, I think the last part of my womp womp really goes out to some of you listeners out here who are really out here trying to justify R. Kelly's, aka the Pied Piper. Some of you guys are out here saying, why are you out here crucifying Kells? Why are you out here, putting this man on trial? There are so many other people who have done worse than him. Harvey Weinstein, freaking Woody Allen, all these other people are out here. What about them? Leave R. Kelly alone. Well, guys, what I have to say to you is get the fuck out of here. I usually don't curse on these on the radio station, but seriously, I don't understand this logic, this line of reasoning that you guys are following with regards to this R. Kelly situation. Some of you have even went as far as to say that this is the white man trying to destroy the black community. This is an agenda against the black man. Again, I'm going to say get the fuck out of here, because this is not about agenda. If there even is a conspiracy out here to destroy the black community, whatever, which I'm not saying that there isn't in other respects, this is not the case. The man is a pedophile. He is dirty and he is nasty, and what he did was wrong. There is no agenda about, oh, they're trying to break the black community. We don't need him in the black community. We don't need him in the black community. I don't understand this line of reasoning, this justification that because others are, they're going to get their day in court too. Am I upset that Harvey Weinstein and Woody Allen and all these other people are still out here living their best lives when people know what they've done? Yes. And I am still coming after them too. I am not supporting them. I am not watching Woody Allen movies. I don't even know what the hell Harvey Weinstein I would be interested in anyways. But I am boycotting everybody who's nasty. Once it becomes public information for me, I'm boycotting you. I'm not participating. I'm not supporting you. And that's really what this all is. R. Kelly is nasty and he violated black girls, young black women in our community. So who are we really fighting for here? Are we fighting for the black girls or are we fighting for R. Kelly? And then people want to say, well, the parents. Yes, we know that's another topic that we have to deal with. But what about the young girls, though? What about them? So we're going to sit here and talk about how R. Kelly is this, R. Kelly is that. He's the world's greatest. He's a legend. Get off his dick. Stop, you know, stop crucifying R. Kelly because there are other people who are out there that are doing the same thing. That's not a sound argument, because it doesn't take away from the fact that R. Kelly is out here violating underage girls who could be your nieces, who could be your cousins, who could be your sisters, who could be your daughters. So the womp womp of the week is being shared by R. Kelly, the celebrities, and all of you out here who really think that he's not, I don't know if you guys think he's not doing anything wrong. I don't know what your concept of justice is, but you guys really need to get it together. So that is the womp womp of the week. All right, everyone. I am here with my very special guest, Rashad McCrory. Now, did I say that right?
Yes. Yeah,
okay, great. I was practicing before I got here. I'm like, I don't want to mess up his name. All right, so Rashad, tell us who you are. Like, who are you? What do you do?
Well, my name is Rashad McCrory. I'm the owner of Africa Cross Culture, which is a tourism company where we take people to Africa. Right now, specifically to Ghana and Egypt, and we're expanding to Rwanda, Togo, Benin, Mali, Cote d'Ivoire, and Senegal. Interesting about my name, I was actually reflecting last night. Through a lot of my teenage years and young adulthood, people would call me accidentally Rashid a lot.
Oh, okay.
You know, just a slip of the tongue, Rashid. Mm-hmm. And I guess my name is established amongst the people I meet to the point now where people are actually saying Rashad, but people have to make sure they say my last name right now. So it's like, all right, people finally are solidifying your first name. Now you have to make sure that they solidify your last name. So yes. My name is Rashad McCrory.
Okay.
And I am the owner of Africa Cross Culture. Now, the parent company is Rashad McCrory Entertainment, LLC.
Okay.
And I started as a party promoter.
Okay.
And once I, you know, New York City party promoter, I would say I was about a BB plus level New York City party promoter. I'm from Harlem, New York. I would say during my time party promotion, I was about a top 10, you know, promoter in Harlem.
Okay.
Really good. And could I go into my first story?
Yeah, go ahead.
And I went on a school trip working on my second master's degree in theology. And we went on a school trip to Ghana. And I loved it so much that what I did was I raised through GoFundMe an airplane ticket to go back to Ghana. I went to classes for 2 weeks. I took my refund check. I withdrew for the rest of the semester. And I went back to Ghana for 6 weeks looking for business opportunities.
Now, question.
Yeah.
So, well, just, I guess, a little background. Rashad and I actually, this is the first time we've met in person. And I can't remember how we actually started following each other on social media. But I noticed that I was like, who is this Rashad person? But I would always see like trips to Africa, trips to Ghana in particular. And I was just like, oh, I wonder like what all this is about.
Yeah.
So when you reached out, I was like, you know, this would be great to actually talk about what it is that you do.
Yeah.
But was this, so this trip to Ghana, was that the first time you've been to Africa?
It was the first time I've been to Africa.
Okay. And so I went to Africa a couple of years ago. I went to South Africa.
Mm-hmm.
And
what part?
I went to Cape Town.
Nice.
And
European,
so
South Africa.
Yes, it was very European when I went there.
Yeah.
And I went with a group called Travel Noir.
Okay.
It was a whole experience trip. So I got to go into the subdivisions and do all that.
That's one of our goals, to build a multi-million-dollar company and sell it.
So what I want to ask you though is like, so everybody has that, you know, when I went to Africa for the first time, it was a life-changing experience. It, was that something that occurred when you went there? Did you feel transformed?
Man, listen, you know, I definitely look forward to going deeper into my story, but another revelation that I recently had within the last 2-3 months, not only was it life-changing, it's turned out to be generational changing for me.
Okay.
So it was beyond life-changing. And so yes, to answer your question, it has been even more than life-changing.
Okay.
Yeah.
So to go back now, you said that you know, when you were in your master's program, you went to Ghana, you were there for another 6 weeks, or you tried to stay there for a couple of weeks to, obtain business ventures. Now, how'd that work out?
The first time I was in Ghana for 17 days
mm-hmm.
With my school.
Okay.
The second time I went back, I was there for 6 weeks.
Okay.
And was looking into different things. And then one day it dawned on me. I said, hey, I can actually, you know, start a tourism company and bring people out to Africa.
Mm-hmm.
You know, my father's been telling me to go back to the motherland since I was a child. I have the skills to get people to go where I want them to go, because
mm-hmm.
I used to be a party promoter.
Yep.
Ding, you know, it was like, yo, you can do this. You know, it took me another year and a half to actually like take it serious. But the 6 weeks that I was down there, that's when I started working on my contracts. That's when I started building more upon the relationships that I established.
Mm-hmm.
The first time I was out there. Even the COO of my Ghana Cross Culture company, because the Ghana component is called Ghana Cross Culture.
Okay.
The Egypt component is Egypt Cross Culture, and so on and so on and so forth.
Mm-hmm.
One of my employees, I put the quotation marks, you know, one of my employees in the States during that time, who I was doing events with, he's Ghanaian.
Okay.
And he was like, you got to meet my cousin when you're out there. You got to meet my cousin when you're out there.
Mm-hmm.
His cousin met me at the airport. Me and him clicked. Now, here we are 4 years later, still making money out there. He
mm-hmm.
makes more money with me in a week than he was making 3 months. You know, not to put it out there, that he was making 3 months at his 9 to 5.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and we had taken care of people out there. So that's really how that all came together. And so that's the first business venture that I really decided to really commit to.
Mm-hmm.
So this is what I do full time. I haven't worked a 9 to 5 or any job since summer 2016, fully self-sufficient. Thank God.
Thank God for that.
You know, went back to school, finished my degree later that year, and just been just grinding and doing it. It don't even feel like a grind.
Because what you love, right?
Yeah, it's what I love.
So how many tours have you led to Ghana?
It's getting up there now. Good question. This is just a rough estimation to not hold you up. I would say between 15 and 20 when you start counting individuals and groups. Because at first it was just like, as they come in, then it was like, all right, so the goal is to do at least 1 or 2 a year. Then I realized maybe I'll start doing quarterly a year.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm at the point of quarterly a year.
That's good.
But now at doing quarterly a year, then I have so many other people who are just hitting me up for birthdays and random groups and individual trips that people are constantly going out through the year. So, and eventually my goal going into 2019, 2020, is to have at least one small group, a minimum of 5 to 7 people a month, let alone with our larger groups of 15 plus quarterly.
Okay. Yeah. Now, what, how did Egypt come into the fold?
Well, it was something that I was looking at and I was planning on it. And then one of our Ghana guests asked us if we can organize a trip to Egypt for him. And one of my beliefs is commit first and then figure it out later.
Spoken like a true entrepreneur.
So then I said, sure. You know, maybe about, you know, they had already started making payments towards the Ghana trip. Mm-hmm. So I pretty much took my profits from the Ghana trip, flew out to Egypt, you know, started interviewing some of the recommendations. You know, I'm not going to give all my secrets away.
No, you can't.
I mean,
you can share with me after we get off. You can share with me, but.
Yeah. You know what it is? I want everybody to like, I can hold like a matchup. Let's say we're in a dark room.
Mm-hmm.
You know, with people in the diaspora, whether it's 1804 and Haiti, because I know, you know, what your situation is.
Yeah.
We all people of African descent, we're all black, whatever you want to call it. I could be a candle by myself in a dark room, a light by myself in a dark room. But it's better for us as a united people if everybody is a light.
Yes.
And then we flip the light on and then we're all in the light. I have a mindset of abundance.
Mm-hmm.
I can't think about scarcity and lack because then I'm going to attract that to me.
Mm-hmm.
There's millions of people out there who can travel to Africa. So why am I going to worry about the next person who may take 10, 100, 1,000 guests when there's a million other people out there
that still have not went?
Yeah, who still have not went. So, you know, so I went out there. I found recommendations and I found about 4 or 5 recommendations and I flew out there.
Mm-hmm.
I went on tours. I interviewed and I worked with people who I was comfortable with, gave them my background, checked out their credentials.
Mm-hmm.
And really was like, all right, let's see who I want to work with.
Okay.
You know, and then I gradually, like, over the course of the first few trips, got reviews, got feedback, and then I'm settling on people. Now, I don't like the word settle. But, like, I'm really decided who I wanted to work with. So I have a good staff in Egypt right now. Because Egypt is a different animal than Ghana. Egypt is Arabic capital.
Yeah, that's why I was very interested when I saw Egypt as part of the group, because I don't really know any other, I guess, groups really, like, or black-owned tour companies that are going out to Egypt.
Yeah, and it's difficult. You know, you find individuals who take blacks out to Egypt to talk about ancient Kemet,
mm-hmm.
to talk about, you know, the history of the Nile River, who talk about metaphysics, astrology, the pyramids, the hieroglyphics, just as far as just as far as the ancient Black history. So we have people who want to go out to Egypt for ancient Black history, and we also have people who want to go out to Egypt because it's one of the seven wonders of the world, if not the number one of the seven wonders of the world. And as a Black entrepreneur, it is kind of difficult to break in as a tourism company in the Arab country because you have to build the right connections unless you don't receive all the benefits. It's not too expensive to get a tourism license in Ghana, but to get a real, real, legit tourism license in Egypt is extremely expensive. It's six figures. It's like buying a franchise, you know? And then you get access to boats that you can put on the Nile River, airplanes to fly you from Luxor and Alexandria to Cairo, you know, buses and vans, you know, because millions upon millions upon millions of people travel to Egypt a year. So things like, for example, when Egyptian companies, when you go on tours and you buy from the vendors, Egyptian companies get 30% commission. I was barely able to negotiate 15.
Oh, wow.
And I had to find people who would even, you know, I had to even find out about that. You know what I mean? Let alone other things. So it's you know, but I'm me, though.
And you listen, know, you know how to make things work.
Yeah, it's my calling. So I got the ancestors and I got the spirits, you know, working in alignment for me to help me, you know, along the way. Like, no, you know, I'm in touch with myself. You know, I got time to be in tune with myself. I don't got all these distractions and of just the real world. You know, I'm in the spiritual realm. I'm in the spiritual world. So I'm in tune with a lot of things.
So how many tours have you done to Egypt?
Quite a few.
Okay. I only asked because I've always wanted to go to Egypt. Yeah. But when, you know, things started getting a little crazy in the Middle East, you know, it was always discouraged people to go. Although I do have Egyptian friends who, you know, they go visit family all the time. But in terms of like, you know, me going to visit, because since I was a kid, I've always been fascinated with hieroglyphics. I was always fascinated with pyramids. When I was younger, I went to Arabic school. So it was always something I wanted to do. And so when I saw that you, you know, provided trips to Egypt, I was like, huh, maybe this is something I might actually be able to do now.
Yeah, let's make it happen.
All right.
Anybody want to come to Egypt, you know, through Free the World podcast?
Yes.
Get a special discount hosted by... You know,
well, today we are on. Well, it'll probably be, this will probably be posted on Frida's World too. But today we're doing it according to RP. But yeah, I think I was actually thinking about it. I was like, you know what? I want to put together a group to go because it's not just me. Like one of my other friends expressed interest in Egypt too. But it was like, who do you go with? You know, how do you get there? So
let's do it. Let's set up something live on the podcast.
Okay.
Anyone going with Frida's group? Are we doing, I just whispered something to her. Okay, so we're gonna do I'm sorry.
Listen, like I said, we don't edit on this show. But for those of you who are listening, because again, this is, so this recording is going to go up for, according to RP on WJMS Radio. But for those of you who don't know what Frida's World podcast is, that's my other podcast for my business, Frida Women NYC. So if you, you know, want to get together with Frida Women NYC to go to Egypt, go ahead.
You get 20% off our website price.
All right. So, guys, I'm really serious about this. Really serious about this. I'm all about.
That's love. That's love.
That's a lot of love. I'm.
Okay. We should have did this early.
We should have.
Find us on our websites. Egypt Cross Culture. EGYPT. Cross. CROSS. Culture, CULTURE, EgyptCrossCulture.com. If you want to go to Ghana, the letter G, the letter H, CrossCulture.com, GHCrossCulture.com. And you can find me on Instagram. Go to hashtag TooBlackTooStrong. T-O-O Black, T-O-O Strong, and look for Rashad _ McCrory. You will see a lot of posts for Ghana, Egypt, and then just find me there because it's Rashad _ McCrory, R-A-S-H-A-D _ M-C-C-R-O-R-E-Y.
Now, I see that you, have you been to Rwanda yet with the group or is that something that's coming up?
That's coming up.
Because that was also very intriguing to me as well because I love the movie Hotel Rwanda. And so just the whole history. Like I'm kind of like a nerd in that sense. So I used to read up on all these different things. So I was like, a trip to Rwanda, I would love to go just to be there and see, you know what I mean?
I want to tell you on the air before, near the end.
Okay.
Near the end. So let me know when it's like 5 minutes.
All right. So I want to ask, so.
Let's talk about that.
No, we are going to talk about that. But I want to ask you, you know, why is it important for people of color, especially, to make that trip to Africa?
Okay. Can we talk about Rwanda first?
We could talk about Rwanda first. Let's do that, and then we'll go to that second, to that question. Yes.
So what I believe another one of my callings is, you know, a continuance to my contribution to the Black community, especially in America and even around the world, but especially in America. And one of the biggest lessons I believe we can learn from Rwanda, even speaking of Hotel Rwanda, with is just the lesson of reconciliation. And even civilly living with one another. Quick background with the story about that, again, with my degree. When I was finishing up my degree, I asked the teacher to do some extra credit assignment. And this sucker teacher, he was like, yeah, just do this, give me a 20-page assignment. Anything you want to choose, 2.5 weeks. Like, oh, really? All right, you know. And around that time, I think it was the 30th anniversary of the Holocaust for Rwanda. Mm-hmm. So I said, okay, this might be something to look into. And I was brought to tears just reading so many books about the stories and the pain of, you know, the genocide between the Hutus and the Tutsis. But I also started reading a lot of stories about how they have to still commune with one another. And one of the stories that touched me was about a man who was sharing his story in a book. And he was talking about how one day he left his house and he saw a little girl dressed in an outfit that reminded him of one of his daughters who was killed during the slaughters. And then he kept seeing the same little girl with similar outfits as his daughter. Then he realized that was his daughter's wardrobe.
Oh.
And how they still have to live, you know, now time is passing, like, you know, they're going into next generations, but they really had to live with one another and the violence stopped. But the violence still stopped and they had different ways to kind of have retributions and to live their life and get it back in order. So I think we can learn from that in our communities. Plus, Rwanda is one of the five cleanest countries in the world. Plus, Rwanda is on the rise. Plus, Rwanda, economically, Rwanda has a 97% literacy rate.
Oh, wow.
Rwanda also has great wildlife. So, Rwanda has a lot of things that really intrigue me. I think it's a great tourist attraction. And I think it actually has a lot of moral and a lot of community benefits that we can learn from also. Everything with Ghana, Africa, Cross Culture, and me, Rashad McCrory, as social awareness attached.
Okay.
Our trips are not vacations. You stay in a hotel 24 hours. 80% of your time is in a hotel, whether it's at the lodge or the pool or whatever. Everything is cultural awareness, and we're out and about on our trips.
So I see that there's, again, this is based on my Instagram research, that there is a book in the works.
Yeah, I have
So you're an author now? You're an author as well? Okay, you're a lot of things.
Thank you.
So what's going on with the book? Tell us about it, if you can.
Yeah, no, that's fine.
Okay.
I'm an open book. the first book, I'm working on three different books. The first book is titled No Thanks to You.
Yes, that's the one that I saw.
Against Pushback.
Okay.
And that book just talks about a lot of the trials and tribulations that I faced in my life where people were trying to suppress my ideas and my goals and my dreams, mm-hmm. and how I was able to fight through it, and even my own personal hopes and fears. So it's not a book about me venting on other people. You know,
talking smack about other people. Although that sells.
You know, you see I'm trying to trauma, right? I'm joking. I'm really not trying to trauma. So no thanks to you. Pushback against pushback. And I'm working on my own book publishing company, McCrory Publishing.
Yes, I saw that too.
Yes.
Okay.
The landing page is there. Already have a good amount of money invested into it. Mm-hmm. So I'm just, the book is actually almost completed. I'm just working on how to effectively launch it on my own platform. Mm-hmm. And because eventually I'm going to be launching other people's books on my platform.
So well, that's good to know.
Really, me, I'm the guinea pig.
Although PETA, apparently, I saw on my last, I think two shows ago, PETA has said that saying things like guinea pig or and stuff like that is equivalent as using like the N-word to black people.
I believe it. Because I was about to say lab rat and I was about to say,
yeah, it's I went through a whole rant about that one because I was like, you have to be kidding me, but it is.
It's power in words. Because I didn't want to say lab rat. You say guinea pig and I'm like, yeah, I like him. So,
you know what I'm saying? I mean, that's a whole. I mean, I probably have to rehash this topic.
To,
but
we have to be specific on that.
But I'm like,
you gotta know the origin of words. I don't like the word humble anymore. I used to like the word mentor. I just stopped. I'm looking for a replacement. I just recently, as the last week or so, I don't want to use the word mentor anymore.
Why not?
Because I feel like using the word mentor is, I don't know. I'm still developing my philosophy.
Okay. Okay. Well, when you develop it, you let me know. Let me know. I mean, I get it. Listen, I mean, there are a lot of terms over the years that I've like, you know, there, like you said, there is power in words. Yeah. There is power in words. But I guess it could be subjective, right?
I feel like I'm Rashad McCrory. I'm a, you know, like, you may like, okay, you could be my financial advisor. Mm-hmm. You could be, you know, I can learn from you. You could be, you know,
okay. Like, to be my, so you want, so maybe something more specific, like more, like not just something that's so vague.
Mentor,
so,
I feel like if somebody's my mentor, male or female, like that person is calling me their son.
and you don't want to be sunned.
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm trying to look down upon me.
I mean, I guess if you see it that way, yeah. As opposed to though, like a father, like, I mean, some people would take it though. Okay. Yeah. I'm your child. I'm your what, but I'm learning so that one day I can be where you're at.
I don't even want that because I want everybody surrounded with me to remember. I was just talking about the lights.
So you
want to
be on the same level. You want everybody to be on the same level.
I want to raise everybody up because I want people to raise me up.
But don't you think that the people that you're raising up would see you as that? You're the mentor who's raising us up so we can at one point be mentors to other people and continue the cycle.
I'd rather be a helper because I don't want, because yeah, I'm not here to disagree. I just know that I want everybody to be the best version of themselves.
Okay.
Because I want somebody who's on a higher plane than me to help me be the best version of myself.
Okay. All right. Fair enough. No. So we are going to be wrapping up a little bit, but I do want to get back to that question that I had asked before. Why is it important for particularly African-Americans, people, the black people, to make that trip to Africa?
To see it for yourself, I believe that each individual person will have their own unique experience. Mm-hmm. And every time you visit, there will be a special experience that the universe, God, your ancestors, whatever you believe, has for you.
Okay.
Every time I've went, I've had a different experience that just enhanced me.
Okay.
And I want each and every one of you to have that experience because I believe that your life will change in one place or another. Especially when, one thing about going with our group is that I firmly believe that I want you to be the best person. And we foster our trips to give you the best experience for that. Whether it's because you're looking for a spiritual renewal, emotional renewal, And even most important, when you go there, you see reality. A lot of people say, I want to go home to the land of the kings and queens. When you go back, you actually realize you are the king and the queen.
Mm-hmm.
You go there with American currency.
Mm.
You go there with American education. You go there just being yourself. They basically worship you. No disrespect. But the Africans here who've been here for some time treat you totally different from the Africans there.
Well, I mean, that is true.
You know, and to be there and to see the civilization for yourself, to see the community for yourself. You know, it just brings you into a different place. You embrace Africa more. And then you also embrace America more. You appreciate America more.
Mm-hmm.
So there's, and it just makes you more well-rounded. It just makes you more, especially if you haven't gone.
Yeah, no, I totally agree. And yeah. I think that, I mean, although I went to South Africa, which was a little more European, but I think...
It's not as European.
Yes, yeah. But... You know, the fact that with Travel Noir, especially, we were able to go into the different communities, the actual subdivisions
this
and
is
whatnot.
Our community of a Travel Noir.
But I am definitely interested in doing a trip both to Ghana, Egypt, and Rwanda because I when I saw the trips, I'm like, this is pretty interesting. Like I was very into that, but I definitely want to take that opportunity at some point. Obviously, I can't do it all in 1 year because I'm not making money like that. But sure, I did see your rates and they're very reasonable compared to what some of these other because there's like Nomadness and Global Jet Black. There are other black companies that are doing these types of tourisms,
no,
but
for these other...
no, but I'm just
saying. What was you saying about abundance earlier?
And no, but I'm. But what I'm saying is that in comparison, you know, when I looked because I went to see like what does all of this, you know, what does this package include? And I'm like, this is actually really good in terms of the pricing. So there's no excuse, people, to not go and to not take this trip because I really do believe that it will be a life changing experience, especially with Ghana. A lot of my friends that have went there, they went to the caves, they went to the different.
Yeah,
you know, slave. Yeah, so I'm like, you know, they were like, it was very emotional for them. Even they didn't think that they were gonna cry. So I'm like, you know, I definitely want to experience this.
So here's a story for you. Okay, www.egyptcrossculture.com, www.ghcrossculture.com. Find me on Instagram, Rashad_McCrory. #TooBlackTooStrong. TOO Black TOO Strong. So I told you that I was a promoter before. So
can you still get me in the clubs right now?
Yeah,
We'll talk.
You know it's Friday night. You know, I got some deposits today. I see some strips walking by. No. So you're gonna love this story.
Okay.
So I was in college and this was the first time I did an event. Three of my friends from college said, Rashad, you're an introvert, you're pretty quiet, but we think you will be an excellent party promoter. And he talked me into being a party promoter. And my first ever event was a Mims concert.
I remember Mims.
This is while I'm hot.
Yep.
And it was a success. And I knew I was going to be a success. And guess who was one of the guys that I went to college with? Who introduced me into being a party promoter?
Who?
George St. Suisse.
My cousin?
Yes.
Interesting. Small world. You kept that from me. You kept that from me.
I forgot about it, though.
Yeah, that was my cousin. George Santeu. Shout out, George. Shout out.
He in Harlem now. Mm-hmm. I see George quite a bit. I've probably seen George about 7-8 times.
Yeah, because he's up there in Harlem. I mean, you see him more than me because I don't make that trip as often.
That's
but
you got to come to the Mecca. Harlem's the Mecca.
That's what I hear. I know about Harlem, and I'm not necessarily. There's no Haitians up there like that. There are, but they're not like that.
So you be like South by 7?
Yeah, I gotta be where the Caribbean people are. That's what I know.
When I leave, I say Umpala.
Upala?
Yeah.
Upala is you're not here.
Yeah, I'm leaving.
Mwembrale.
Okay.
Okay. All right. Either way. Yeah. So we have to come to an end.
Great job.
To our show.
You've seen a lot of different facets of me, people.
Yes, a lot of facets. And this was my first time meeting him in person, so I've definitely learned a lot. But it was good. It was good. I'm sure there's going to be a lot of commentary feedback, which we encourage people. Definitely give us your comments. Give us your feedback with respect to the show and on Mr. McCrory. What do you guys think?
Yes.
Is he secretly a Trump supporter? I don't know. Yes. You guys let me know.
Sometimes I lay at night. I'm in insomnia. So sometimes I lay up during the day. And I wonder, because I ain't going to lie, one of my favorite lines during the, do we have to go? Can I share one of my favorite
lines? We can share, but you're going to be a little editing. So, you know, it may make it, we don't, but we are moving into, and we're not going to edit the beginning, the meat.
I know. One of my favorite lines, these are from the outtakes. Yes. One of my favorite lines was during the campaign when Hillary Clinton was like, we have evidence that you do loopholes in it. You find loopholes in your taxes and you don't pay your taxes.
Yeah, I do recall this.
That makes me smart. That makes him smart.
But that actually does make him smart.
And people around the world like that. Like we go, you know.
Yeah. I still can't get behind though, but either way, thank you so much, Rashad, for coming onto the show. I really hope that everybody at least got something. And I mean, I think the main point here is make sure that you take that trip to Africa.
Even if it's
that one time in your life, it's definitely something that I think, especially with Black people, that we all have to do at least once. But thank you so much for coming onto the show and making it a live show. It was really interesting. It was actually a pretty good show. Good back and forth. But all right, everyone, you are listening to According to RP on WJMS Radio, and we'll talk next week. Say goodbye.
Later, take care.
You were listening to According to RP on WJMS Radio.
About time you tuned in.
Tune in each and every Thursday.
I can't wait to come back.